Blog Talk Radio.
Verse 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, beginning at that first verse. Again, we want to welcome our radio audience to the Word of Faith Praise and Worship Center. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I refuse not to be joyful. I refuse to be sad. I refuse to be oppressed and depressed. I refuse to let the enemy come into my space and into my spirit. So why don't you just handle the word of life? And those that didn't get it this morning, that had made that confession of faith with us this morning, why don't you make that confession of faith again? And that confession of faith, as you hold your Bibles in your hand again, is, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. And yes, that is your confession of faith for this morning. It should be your confession of faith, or part of your confession of faith, each and every day of our lives. But here, this morning, we're getting ready. 2014, November, we're getting ready to go to the Word of God. That Word of God that's going to make you as a creature, that creative being on the inside of you, being manifested in you, that it won't be any more you, but it be the Christ that live within. So turn to, again, to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. And it reads, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrian had come out, had gone out by the companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, but he would recover him of his leprosy. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Dear God, we thank you for the great, for the mighty things that you have done, great and mighty things, God, that you are about to do today, tomorrow, the next day, God, as long as we are upon this earth. We thank you, Father, for your miraculous power. We thank you, God, for you being King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you this morning for being a healer, for being a deliverer, for being a mind fixer, for being a heart regulator. This morning, we thank you for the people of the Most High God, those here at Word of Faith Praise and Worship Center, those I hear that in heart, mind, soul, and spirit, those that are with us on the radio. We thank God today as we speak the word of God through the airways from city to city, from state to state. And for this, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I believe that we won't be before you long on this morning, but we're going to preach the word of God. And we're not going to opt to cut it short, but we're going to opt to preach what God has given us for you on today. And if we would use as a topic today, we will use the cure of Naaman's leprosy. The cure to Naaman's leprosy was his obedience to God. I don't know what you may be going through. I don't know what you are stressing out on this morning or today, or what you had in your heart and your mind on day before yesterday. It may have been months. It may have been years. But I can tell you today that God, he is a healer, and God, he is a deliverer, and God, he is a mind fixer, and he is a heart regulator. No matter what the problem may be, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the location is, I want you to know that God, he is a very present help in the time of trouble. When we look at the book of 2 Kings, we see a man named that was called Naaman. And Naaman was captain of the host of the king of Syria. That's an important job that he had. And the word tells us not only was he the captain of the host of Syria, but he was a great man. He was a great man in the eyesight of his master. He was honorable before his master and before others because of the fact that Naaman had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was also a mighty man in valor. But the word of God tells us so clearly that Naaman was a leper. He had leprosy. Everything looked good on the. It looked good for what he did. And sometimes it looked good. Things looked good on the outside, but there's a problem on the inside. Sometimes we do things that are so commendable to others, but yet we are still dealing with situations and we're dealing with problems in our lives. But we have to realize that we serve a God that knows the very hairs upon our head. He knows what we're thinking. He knows when we visualize things, how we are mentally receiving those things and what we are thinking. He knows the heart of man. He knows what we are thinking. He knows how we are downloading things into our spirit, into our heart. Well, when we began to look at Naaman, he had a serious problem. He had a skin problem. He had leprosy. And the word of God let us know that there was a maid. And the word tell us that this maid had came to by means of when the Syrian had came against Israel, they had got this young maid took her back to Syria. And she served that Naaman's wife. And while she was there, she can look and she can see that everything wasn't intact and everything wasn't right. They knew she knew that he had a big job, a great man, she knew that he was honorable. But she knew that he had a problem. So one day, the word of God tells us that this maid, she had spoke to Naaman's wife, and she related to him if her master, that's the one that she worked for, that's the one that gave her provision, that's the one that was master over her in the natural because she was their maid, and they, in other words, she was their slave. She's the one that was taken from her land of Israel and brought to Syria. So most likely she had felt that he was a good man because of the fact that she wanted to be helpful, and she seen something that made her want him to be better. Haven't there been people in your life, and you see that things not the way that they should be, and in your heart you're thinking, you know, Lord, you know, heal this person, heal her, heal him. This person that may have been a part of your everyday being, which she was a part of Naaman and his wife every day, because she was constantly, consistently with them. But she told Naaman's wife that there was a man that was in Israel, there was a prophet that was able to heal Naaman. She wished that Naaman was over in Israel, that the prophet would heal him of his sickness, of his disease. Now, I don't know what you may be going through, whether it's a sickness, whether the disease, whether or not things in your life seem like it's falling apart. I don't know. But I do know that there is a God that is able to move on your behalf. There is a God that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. So therefore, she made it known to Naaman's wife. And then the word let us know that someone had gone and told and let it made known that what the maid had said concerning Naaman. Because I believe that they too wanted Naaman to be healed. So the king of Syria, when you read in that fifth verse, it says, and the king of Syria said, go and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. That just let you know how much he thought of Naaman, for him to go that far, to that extent, to send expensive things to the man of God so that Naaman could be healed of his infirmity. He was very grateful for what Naaman had done for Syria. So therefore, he sent all these things. It wasn't something that he had to think about, but he decided that, hey, we're going to send him to Israel, and we're going to send other things such as we just read, so that as a gift to be given to them for healing Naaman. And not only that, the word of God says in that sixth verse, and he brought the letter, because he sent a letter to the king of Israel, and that's in verse 6. And he departed and took with him all the things like the talent of silver, the 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter comes unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou may recover him of his leprosy. I'm sending all of these things, that you have mercy upon him, that you will touch him, that you will heal him. And I'm showing you how grateful I am, because I'm sending you with this letter all of these additional things for Naaman's healing. And when we look at the word of God, because you got to look and you got to study the word of God. Because the word of God, number one, says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. He said that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. You want to be free this morning? You need to read the word of God and believe the word of God. All things are possible to him that believes. And the word says in that seventh verse of the fifth chapter of 2 Kings, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he sent his clothes and said, and he rent his clothes. He rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man sends unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seek a quarrel with me. I mean, in a word, how dare him send this man to me? He's talking about Naaman. To recover Naaman of his leprosy. If he's seeking a quarrel with me, how am I'm not God. Why he's sending this man to me to cure him of his leprosy? And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, therefore hast thou rent thy clothes. Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now, we know the king had power. We knew that the king had authority. But what the king of Syria did not realize, that the king of Israel was not a born-again believer and was not a man that not only walked in the authority and power of God, but he could not heal Naaman of his diseases. He did not realize just because he had authority, just because he was the king of Israel, he did not possess the gift of healing. He did not believe God to the extent that he could heal Naaman of his disease. So he knew he was in trouble. He knew that, why is this man trying to make a quarrel with me? Is he sending him for me to heal this man of such a disease that even he, in other words, could not heal? So Elisha heard of the king had rent his clothes, and Elisha said, send him to me. Come on. Don't you want to possess the power of the Most High God? And don't you want to walk in the authority of God to know that God will touch a man, a woman, a girl, a boy, no matter what diseases, no matter what they're going through, whether their heart, whether they're the lumbar area, the cervical area, whether it's they're in the lower part of the abdominal area, lower part of their back, no matter what it's the leg, the arm, no matter what it is, the eyes, the ears, maybe it's a nose, I don't know. Maybe they can't blind and they cannot see. But Elisha didn't even have seen this man, but he had seen God. He knew the power of a Most High God. Can you not go there with me this morning and realize that God is a God that created man, and he knows every vein, every artery. He knows every part of the body, and not just know, because there are doctors that know every part of a human body. Come on. But they're not able to heal without the knife or without the scalpel. They need that scalpel to do whatever they can practice in doing. But Elisha, all he wanted for the king, you don't have to rent your clothes. You don't have to tear your clothes off of you. Don't get upset. Don't get depressed. Because sometimes we let things stress us out. Sometimes we let things cause us to be oppressed because it seems so big. It seems so insurmountable. It seems like we cannot do anything because it's just too big. And it seems like it's just too impossible. But Elisha said to, had word to the king that sent him to me. And Elijah wanted the king to know and everybody else to know that there is a God, there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him. And this is what he said. He told him, he said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Very simple. Very, very simple. The cure is to go and wash 7 times in Jordan. Not 1 time, not 3, not 5.5, but to go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman, there's always sometimes a but in our lives, but you just don't know the situation. You don't know how long I've been in this position. You don't know how I've gone to physicians, and you don't know how long I've had to experience this. And you telling me to go to Jordan, and you telling me to dip 7 times in the river of Jordan? Well, this was Naaman's mentality. It wasn't like he was saying, I've been in this situation a long time, and it may have been different with you, but this man, all the things that he can think about is you telling me that you want me to dip 7 times in the river of Jordan. But Naaman was, he got upset. The word of God tells us that he was wrong. And he went away. And he said, behold, I thought. So that's what get many of us in trouble. That's why many of us are not healed. That's why many of us don't get what we want from God because of the way that we have thought. The Bible says, let the same mind be within us that's in Christ Jesus. We got to not to walk in the flesh in that carnal mind, because he certainly is walking in carnality, but we have to walk in the spirit. You know, the word of God tells us in Romans 12:1, to be not conformed to this world, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mean, this man's mind need to be renewed. And this man had a problem with leprosy, but that wasn't the real problem. And God knew that it wasn't Naaman's primary problem. Yes, you can see that he needed to be healed and that he had a skin problem, but God knew that it was more than that skin problem. Don't you think that God knows within us that it's more than what we are looking at and what others can see on the outside when we go through different things in our life? Don't you know that God knows that it's more than what presented itself on the outside? Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God, God Almighty, he looks on the heart. So therefore, When we look at the word of God, we see that Naaman got angry. How many times have you got angry? And you thought that you couldn't have it your own way. God may have told you to do something, but you say, hey, I think this is a better way. I think I can achieve the goal. I can get what I need if I do it this way. But Naaman was angry. He thought that the man of God, the prophet of God, God man, was going to come out, in other words, and to greet him. Number one, he thought, you remember all the accolades that I read, that we read in the beginning of the fifth chapter of 2 Kings, how that he was a great man to his master, he was honorable. You know, people spoke well of. Sometimes, you know, you can't let people say too many things good about you. And it's okay because honor is due to honor is due, but to a certain extent, when you start talking about people too much, then that's going to get in their spirit to think that they something more than what they are. They become like men and women that that need to humble themselves before God. And if they humble themselves before God, then they humble themselves before man. Don't you remember the word of God say, if my people, in 2 Chronicles, the word say, if my people, in 7:14, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn away from their wicked way. He said that he will hear from heaven. He said that he will forgive the sin. And he said that he would heal the land. So Naaman thought, hey, I'm big time. I'm here with the king. You know, I'm a measure. I'm speaking to paraphrasing to you what how man thinks sometimes and who they think that they are. I'm somebody that not to be reckoned with. I'm somebody that the king of Syria respects. I'm somebody that a king has sent to Israel with a letter and merchandise to give away for my healing. I'm somebody. So when the prophet didn't come, and when the prophet didn't present itself to Naaman, he didn't like that. He said, you know, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. He had it already. You know how sometimes we can make up things in our mind like we think it's the thing and the situation is going to be. It's not the way God says it's going to be. It's the way that you think that it's going to be. It's the way that you imagine things going to be. It's the way that you play it out. It's not the God saying that the way God wants to be is that what you imagine in your mind. And then he had the audacity to say, he said, are not Abana and Farapart, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So the word tells us he turned and went away in rage. He was first angry and wroth, and then he got enraged. Because he thought about it even more, got more angry. There are better rivers. Abana, Farapah, the river of Damascus. Why in the world are you sending me to this river of Jordan to dip seven times? You're sending me to this dirty river. Water is mucky and dirty, to his idea. And yet, the word for me is to dip seven times. So he was enraged. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, would have not thou have done it? How much rather than he said unto thee, to wash and be clean. Then went he down. Sometimes it takes somebody, I just want to stop there. Sometimes It wasn't one of his great men that came to talk to him. But just like that that maid that talked to his wife, she caused things to be happening because the Spirit of the Lord was upon her. Because God wanted to get this man over in Israel. And if God wanted him to get to the prophet so that he could be healed. Come on. Sometimes we have to have a channel of change of process and things that we go through in order sometimes to get what God wants us to get. First, it was the maid. Then it was Naaman's wife. Somebody heard, went to the king. The king sent the letter and the garments and things over to the king of Israel. The king of Israel, he didn't have a power to heal. He didn't know, he didn't have the faith or the confidence. He didn't have the trust in God to do what was requested of him. And then when the word of God came unto Naaman, and the word told him to come to the man of God, to Elisha, he thought again that he was going to come out and he was going to say some great things and he was going to do this and that. That was a play in his mind. But that God knew that's what was needed. And God knows that's what we don't need sometimes. We need to be obedient to God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Because Naaman was dealing with rage and anger and wrath on the inside of him. He may have seemed really calm on the inside, but he had a problem. He wasn't humble. He thought he was somebody. And he thought that he wasn't one to listen. It was for his life. It was for him to be totally to heal. To surrender to God, to know that there is a God, that your king, he is not God, that the king of Israel is not God. The prophet of God that knew God sent him to the prophet. He wasn't God, but he was representing God. He had the faith to believe God, that God was going to heal this man and that he was going to be healed. And after he be healed, he's going to know that there is a prophet, there is a God in Israel. So after talking to the servant and listening to him, calming him down, he needs somebody in our life. He needs to calm us down. He needs somebody that can't get irate like we are. We got people around you that just blow off and get angry and rage like you. You don't need someone there because it's just like it's making it worse. You need somebody that's going to talk to you, somebody that you're going to listen to and give you great and good advice. So he said, if he would have asked you to do something great, he would have did it. All he wants you to do is wash, and you're going to be clean. So in that 14th verse of the 2 Kings of the 5th chapter, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was cleansed. Because he obeyed. He could have left there in the same condition. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you could come to church and stay in the same condition that you're in. Why? Because you are not being obedient. You won't hear. You got to do it your way. You got to do it the way you always have did it. But God wants us to hear him. God wants us to be obedient to him. Our healing, our deliverance, our salvation is in him. And last, that 15th verse, and he turned to the man of God, he and all his company, and said and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all of the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servants. The main part that I want you to understand is that the man not only was he healed, but he had a profession of faith that he now knew that there is no God in all the earth such God, the living God, the God that he said reside in Israel. He's not only the God that reside in Israel. He's not the only God that reside in Jacksonville, Florida, in Miami, in Tampa, Florida. He's not the only God that reside in New York City, in Chicago, Alabama, Georgia, or wherever you may live, in Colorado, in Virginia. He's not that God just resides in a certain place. It's not that he's not that God that you got to take an airplane in order to get to him. He's not that God that you got to take a train to get to him. He's not that God that you got to get in your automobile and drive to him. Oh, but he is so close to you. He is just a prayer away. He's just, if you just be obedient unto him, if you just have faith and confidence in him, you can receive your healing. Remember the woman that had the issue of blood. She had been there, like in that condition, for 12 long years. I don't know how long Naaman had been in the condition that he was in, but I do know the word of God said that this woman had been in condition for 12 years, spent her money going to physicians, but could not be healed, still sick, still losing blood. I mean, come on. But when she decided, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, come on, I don't have to touch him. My faith is if I just touch him this morning, if we just touch him through the word of God, if we can only believe God, if we can only stand on God's word, if we can only take God at his word to know that what he said is able to perform it. Come on, get ready, get ready. Come on, get ready wherever you are. Whether or not you are listening from afar off, or whether you're in the building, or whether or not you are listening as you are from this broadcast, we want you to know that God, he is a God that's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. The topic this morning was the cure of Naaman. Leprosy was his obedience to God. The cure for what's wrong with him, whether it's sickness or it's disease, whether it's infirmity, whether it's money in the bank, whether it's the children, your grandchildren, your husband, your wife, whatever it may be, the teacher, the professor, whoever it may be, the answer is in your obedience to God. The answer is being obedient to the Most High God. Come on. All Naaman had to do is to believe God. All Naaman had to be to is to have faith in God and to obey him. If he did not obey, he would have left Syria, come to Israel, and went back from Israel to Syria in the same condition. Come on, it's time out that we stand in the same position. It's time out that we're doing the same old, and not doing it God's way. It's time for us to be healed, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for us to be delivered. It's time for us to be saved. It's time for us to be made free. It's time for us to stop compromising. Come on. It's time for us to believe God. And when we believe God, we're going to believe his word. We're getting ready. Get ready. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. There are many out there that do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's many out there that have given up, have thrown their hands up because of tragedy, because of things that they're going through, because of sickness, because of diseases. because of things in our lives that seem like it fell apart. But I want you to know this morning that there is nothing too hard for God. I want you to know this morning that God has your case and that he can win it. He's the best lawyer. He's the best judge. He is God. He's the best physician. He specializes in every area of our life if we can just believe him and just stand on his word. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you to God for the great, for the mighty things that you have done, great and mighty things, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And God, that word that we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Lord, we thank you for obedience to your word. We thank you for righteousness, God, even now. And Father, that word that we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. And Lord, even now, God, those that are not saved, those that don't know you as Lord and Savior, God, don't let them continue to be like Naaman. God, don't let them try to do it their own way. God, don't let them live the way that they've been living for a long, long time. God, let them, God, be humble and give their life unto you, that you, God, will heal them and that deliver them from their sin, their transgression, and God, that you will make a way of escape, and God, that they can spend eternal life with you. And Father, we just thank you, because your word said we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead. You said that we shall be saved. And Father, even now, save, deliver, and make free. And this we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. We're broadcasting live from the bold, beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm Pastor Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we want to invite you to come and worship with us here at 1545 Hotel Drive, Suite 19, every Sunday morning as the bread of life been broken, so that you can eat and impart of it. May God bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you forever and ever. Don't forget, on Tuesday, Wednesday, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, here at the same location from 12 to 1, we have the hour of prayer. You can come, pray your own prayer, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, up to an hour. And the availability for our sanctuary will be open to you. It doesn't matter where you worship. You can come here and you can pray here at Word of Faith Praise and Worship Center. God bless upon you today and forever. In